in the Bible.
Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter number 17. And we're going to get right into the message. We'll not be long. I'll let you go here this evening. I'm just going to say a few things tonight, and I'll be out of your way. Amen. Ask God to help you. Be a blessing to you this evening. Don't miss Wednesday night. We are studying what the Bible says about divine healing. Wednesday night in February. All of these February Wednesday nights. There's not a one of us in here that hadn't had questions in our mind when we see all these services on TV of people being healed. You ask yourself, is that real? Is it not real? Is there anything to that? Is it all fake? Some of it real? We'll study what the Bible says about divine healing Wednesday night. So don't miss Wednesday night. Come and pray. All right. Now, I didn't know till we was on our way to church tonight. I was asking the ladies, Crystal back there, I was asking her about, I don't want y'all to get too cool, the Super Bowl tonight, and there's a team playing called the Ravens. Is that true? That's a weird name. That's a picture of a demon, a black bird in the Bible. Where are they from? Baltimore. Okay, I thought that was the Colts. I'm not a football fan. You can tell that. That's a boring sport besides golf about it there is. But anyway, they stop too much. Stop, pile up, stop, pile up, stop, pile up. But anyway, the other team is from Fairyland, where fairies are, Fairyland. Gold, where they've discovered gold and the heart of the homosexual heart of America, San Francisco. Is that right? All right. I don't know how much football will be going on with all of that, but maybe there will. But here's what I want to do tonight. Let's have the Glory Bowl here tonight, and I'm going to read you some scripture here in Exodus 17, and I'm going to show you a real fight that every Christian in here is in. Look at Exodus 17 and verse number 8. Chapter 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek. Now, you're going to understand that Amalek in your Bible is a picture of the flesh, your flesh, and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with a rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now that's a very, very important verse of Scripture. Here's Israel. Hold your finger there. I'm not through reading. They've come out of Egypt, a picture of sin and wicked, the old bondage of sin. They've been set free. They crossed the river of Jordan, picture of baptism. They're on their spiritual journey toward Canaan land. And there's battles in the wilderness. Picture me and you being saved, getting baptized, living for God. I got saved at Nebo Baptist Church, then I got baptized, then the battle started. And you know who I found out was the enemy? Me. My flesh. Your flesh is your worst enemy. Not your husband, not your wife, not your mother-in-law, not your boss man. Your own flesh is the biggest enemy and hindrance you have in trying to live for God. Now, God's people say it? That's right. Everybody in here, you will learn it the hard way or the easy way, your flesh. And the Bible said that Amalek fought with Israel. So Israel's a picture of your flesh, and Amalek's a picture of the flesh. Israel's a picture of the spiritual man. When I get saved, I get a new man on the inside of me. This new man wants to do right. However, the old man does not want to do right. By the way, when you get saved, your flesh don't get born again. If it did, all your imperfections would be gone. If you were missing a finger, you'd grow a finger. If your flesh got born again. Your flesh is bought and paid for, but the Bible said we wait, quote, for the redemption of our body. So your body is not born again. Your body will be born again at the rapture. You will get a new body, and it'll never sin again. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So when the Lord comes, you get a new body that won't never sin again. But until then, you have a symbol. That's why sometimes there's something in you that wants to go to church, and there's something in you that wants to go to a party. There's something in you that wants to read the Bible, and there's something in you that wants to do something else. You know why? That's the flesh. Amalek. Israel. Amalek. Israel. A fight. It's sort of like a boxing match or a football game. Now, I want to talk about that tonight. War with your flesh. Now, let's illustrate tonight. All right? I need me a football team up here. Man, come on up here, Brother Jeremy. All right. He's going to stand right here. He's a linebacker for the shining light torches tonight. We'll let him be the... You want to be the Ravens or the other people?
I don't want to be either one.
You don't want to be either one. All right. We'll name you. All right. Here's a big man on their side. All right, I need me another big man. Chase, come up here. Don't bring your baby. Come up here. You're a football player. But Jason, I need you. Come on. All right. Now you're going to be right here. You're going to be on the other team. Now, don't let this little guy fool you. He's solid as a rock. Amen. He's like dynamite comes in little packages, don't it, brother? But anyway, old Chase, he puts on this little image like he's this little guy, but he's tough. All right, him and Brother Jason are going to represent the other team. And Jeremy, I need me some more. Brother Derek, you want to? Let's get these boys up here. Y'all come on up here. Reese boys, both of you, come on up here. Let's get the Reese boys. Y'all are tough. Holland boys. Come on. Let y'all on one of these teams. Both of you. All right, come on. Now I need me another man. Need me another tough man. Got another tough man in here tonight? Any volunteers? Jeremy? He's a tough man. Come on. Brother Mike? He's tough. All right. One, two, three. Y'all, one of y'all go over there. All right. Clemson Tigers! This is football! All right. Here we go. All right. One, two, three, four. This team needs another player. Jason? Come on. Eric, come on. You, all right, come on. There's Anton LaBey. Come on up here. He comes up here. All right, we need one. Zach, come on. Now, old Zach's tough. I've been into him a few times. We've wrestled around. He's pretty tough. All right, now these boys here, I could take on any one of these guys as long as I got my gun with me to even it out. But every one of these guys are pretty tough. I played ball with every one of them, and I played blood ball with Jeremy over here, and I doubt if there's a stronger man in our church than him. I mean, as far as just physical strength, that boy's strong. But anyway, we're gonna let these boys go head to head here. Amen. You're gonna get to see something if they don't. Them chickens on TV won't do. No helmets, no shoulder pad. I want y'all to get down, and you're gonna knock heads right here in the middle in just a second. I want you to get down. I want you to go. They'll represent one team, and when I clap my hands, I want y'all to take your hand, put your hands behind you, and just go head to head right here and smack right here in the middle. You better move there, sister. Clear the aisles. We're gonna be bloodshed right here tonight. All right, here we go. They're going to represent, let's let them represent Israel, and let's let them represent Amalek. Now, I need a ball. Where's the ball? Go in there in my office, see if I got a basketball in there. I know I ain't got no football. I believe I got a basketball in there. We need a ball. The object of the ball game is, you're going to try to get the ball. Who did I say was Israel, y'all? Okay, Israel is on the offense, and their job is to take the ball across the goalpost. The devil's crowd is trying to stop them from taking it across the goalpost. Okay? All right. Here's the ball. Now, your job. I played blood ball with old Jeremy here. If y'all never played blood ball, you ought to go to camp. Because at camp, we play blood ball, and the object of the game is get the ball to the other side, and there's no rules. None. You can pull hair, kick, hit them in the mouth. Listen, you think you're tough? When about four guys get on you and hold you underwater with that, you will let go of it, I guarantee it. I'm telling you, man, that's a rough game. But anyway, all right, here we go. Now, y'all's job is to get the gospel to the other side and take the gospel home. Their job is to stop you. Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble. Amen. Now, this, you say, well, what's that got to do with the Christian life? That's what the Christian life's like. It's a struggle. It's a battle. How many of you have felt like sometimes it's just a fight to try to do the right thing? Raise your hand. All right, you know what I mean. All right, y'all got it figured out? Got your defensive strategy ready here? All right. Who's the quarterback over here? One of these guys got to throw it. No, you don't have to. You can just hunker down and run. But they're going to crash right here in the middle. Now, we don't want nobody hurt. But if you get hurt for the illustration and the Lord's sake, then God will bless you for it. All right, here we go. Get down. On the count of three, they're going to head to head. Now, come on now, boys. Don't. So the devil's got his crowd ready, buddy. I tell you. They ain't messing around, bless God. These Christians look a little weak over here, don't they? Come on, Christians. Onward, Christian soldier, blah, blah, all that kind of stuff, right? You been reading your Bible? You been prayed up? Got the Holy Ghost on you? That's the only way you can beat these guys. Look at them. They big, they bad, they ugly. I mean, they're going to get you. All right, here we go. On the count of three, ladies and gentlemen, we shall have the battle of the ages. They just got saved. Get right with God. And da, 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 da. But before we do, Beyonce will come. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's... All right, thank you. Shut up. Get out of here. All right. Now, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. One, on the count of three, we shall now have the glory bowl. One, two, three, go! He's down, ladies and gentlemen. And it's a fight, and it's a fight, and they're trying to get the ball. Oh, the devil got the ball. Oh, the offense picks it back up, but he's going back the other way. Oh, it's a touchback, but he's going the other way. Look out, ladies. All right, time out. Whoa. Whew. Oh, that's pretty good, wasn't it?
That's rugby.
Yeah. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Man, these guys, that's that human nature getting a flesh, boy, real fast. Like, that's what it's like living the Christian life. Let's give them a big hand here. All right, y'all sit down, boys. Amen. Now listen. That's what it's like living for the Lord. That's what it's like living for the Lord. Was that video camera on? I hope not. It was. That was on the internet. Oh, boy. Let me say three things about it and we'll go. Three things about this and we'll go. Number one, the flesh resents the supernatural. The flesh resents the supernatural. There's something in your flesh and mine that don't want the Holy Ghost of God. Haven't you ever been around people that's really in the flesh and the Lord start moving? You watch them. They'll laugh, they'll mock, they'll get uncomfortable. I've been in services before. We have some wicked teenagers come in or somebody like that many, many times and the Lord start blessing them. Somebody stand up and go, "Woo! Hallelujah! Thank God!" And those teenagers sit there and go, their flesh resents the supernatural. They don't know how to act. They don't know how to act. I've seen like Miss Kerr, somebody stand up and throw her hands up and start shouting just like they'll be doing at that ball game tonight. And it embarrasses the fire out of people. Amen? The flesh resents the supernatural. Your flesh does not like the moving of God. Your flesh resists and resents the moving of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said this. Let's read a little bit. But Moses' hands were heavy. Verse 12. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you keep your Bibles open that long, but it's Exodus 17:12. His hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with what? Edge of the sword. What's that a picture of? The word of God. Only way you can whoop him. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I have utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The Lord's going to have war with Amalek from generation to generation. A man that don't know what it's like to have war with his own flesh doesn't know what the Christian life is all about. The greatest Christian that ever lived, the Apostle Paul, said in Romans chapter 7, he said, when I try to do something good, evil is present. He said, "When what I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I wind up doing." He said, it's a fight from daylight till dark. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now in this story tonight, it was like this. We had the Israelites over here, like they were a minute ago. We had the Amalek over here, with these guys over here. And the Bible said that Moses was up on the top of the hill with the rod of God in his hand. And the Bible said, as long as Moses held up his hands, then God's people would win. What's that a picture of? Prayer. As long as Moses prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, then God's people could win the battle. As soon as his hands got tired and heavy, and he went down like that, as soon as he did that, the flesh started winning. Just as quick as we let down our armor, just as quick, it's just like when you turn the heat off, it gets cold in this building. When people quit praying, it gets spiritually cold. You know, it's youth rally time. It's time for us to pray. It's time for us to get down on our knees. I told somebody today, they said, "Boy, the Lord really moved in our church this morning." And He did. We had a bunch of people in the altar. You could feel the Lord's power in here this morning. And you know what I told them? I said, "Because we've been praying. We've been praying. We've been praying harder. We've been fasting. We've been praying." As long as Moses held up his hands, God's people won. As soon as he let down his hands, the devil's people won. You are in a spiritual battle tonight. And brother, if we'll hold up our hands and hold each other up, we'll win the battle, thank God. Listen, you know what they finally had to do? Moses got so tired that they set him down, and these guys held up one hand, and another guy held up the other hand. He just went like that. He said, "Lord, help us, help us. I'm tired, I can't do it." What's that a picture of? Deacons, Sunday school teachers, getting under the preacher's arm, holding them up. You know what they do in most churches? They're over there doing pull-ups on his arms. He's trying to help fight the battle, and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers are doing chin-ups on the preacher's arm. Lord, have mercy, brother. They got underneath his arms and held him up and said, "Preacher, we're with you. We're behind you," and held him up. And you know what? God's people won the victory when the preacher's hands were held up and they prayed. So the flesh resents supernatural. Number two, the flesh attacks first. The flesh attacks first. They didn't come out there and said, "Hey, where you at, Amalek? We'll come out here and whoop you." They didn't have to go looking for him. Amalek showed up and attacked them first. You don't have to say, "All right, I'm ready to fight the battle. Where's the battle?" The battle will find you. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm ready to take my stand. Where do I want to fight in the battle?" You don't have to do nothing. Just get right with God. You're going to get hit in the face. You're going to get hit every way you turn. I mean, the devil will hit you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know if you've been saved or not. I'm telling you, brother, when I got saved, I started out my journey for the Lord. Many of you have heard me tell it over and over and over. You've heard my story of that dream I had that night. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. But probably for 50 people in here that's never heard it, I was going down Hoppy Tom Holler. I dreamed, well, I hadn't been saved very long. And I was going down Hoppy Tom, the road that I live on. I was just walking down through there minding my own business. And I looked down, and there was a snake. It was about that big around. But that thing was at least a quarter of a mile long. His head was near a quarter of an eighth of a mile up that way. His tail was way back there, about as far from here, the sign, back behind me. And I thought in my dream, I was just walking down the road, and I looked down. He wasn't bothering me, I wasn't bothering him. And all of a sudden in my dream, I stopped, and I reached in my pocket and pulled out one of them little box cutters, like you flip a little switch up, a little razor blade comes out of it. And I bent over and I went to that snake and I just went and cut his body. And when I did, I looked up there and he stopped and I saw his head is about that high off the ground, just turned around like that and looked at me. And he started coming toward me real fast. His head was this high off the ground, dragging his body, just coming right toward me like that right there. And when he got right to me, I jumped out of the way. And he went way down here like that and stopped and turned around and started coming at me again. And when he got right here, I jumped out of the way. And he went way down here, and he turned around and started coming back. And in my dream, I was just back and forth and back and forth. And he was trying to get me, and I woke up. And I couldn't move. I was so scared. And I said, "Lord," I was about 19 years old. And sometimes the Lord will talk to you in the middle of the morning like that, about 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but as soon as you wake up, them first few seconds, God will talk to you. Because your mind's clear, I guess, and you can hear Him or something. I don't know why that is. But the Lord said, you see that, Danny? There was a time when I was 15, 16, 17. I was going down the road. Me and the devil was going the same way. I wasn't bothering him. He wasn't bothering me. But the night at Nebo Baptist Church, I stopped. And I said, I ain't going no further. And I pulled out a two-edged, double-edged King James sword that's sharper than a razor blade. And I went like that when I was 19, said I'm called to preach, and stuck him with it. And his head turned around, and he's been after me ever since, boys and girls. Ever since, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a fight every day since then. And I'm telling you, the flesh attacks first. The devil don't like what you're doing. It's like I heard a man. Your flesh will cooperate if you want to do something it likes. So for example, if you want to read the Bible, you'll read a chapter and you're just like this, falling asleep. And then you can pick up a newspaper or turn the TV on and you're wide awake for another hour. That's the flesh. It'll cooperate. If I say we're going to have an all-night prayer meeting, everybody's too sleepy to come. But if you say, well, we're going to drive to Knoxville, or we're going to drive, somehow or another we can stay up and drive 3 hours. Your flesh don't want to do. When we started a church, when we started this church, right over in the parking lot of the old church over on Carbon City Road, a preacher pulled in. And this preacher pulled in, and he jumped out. He said, "Danny, I want to talk to you." And I'm telling you, the guy had, it looked like a devil was all over this guy. And I like him. He's a nice guy. He said, "I want to talk to you." I said, "Okay." He said, "What makes you think you got the right?" And I said, "Man, what is wrong with you?" He said, "What makes you think you got?" I said, "Look, buddy, I'm just trying to do what the Lord wants me to do. I mean, why would you have a problem with that? You ought to be glad if somebody's trying to get somebody getting saved." And I said, "You act like you're mad." He said, "I am." You know what that guy's problem was? He's controlled by his flesh. Now you got to watch stuff like that. You got to watch. You got to watch this flesh getting so religious that you take a stand that ain't even biblical. I appreciate all y'all. Y'all being 99.9.9% of the people in here been so sweet to me lately about my season to get married and all that. Y'all been nice. But I've had about a couple phone calls, something like that. One lady said, "I don't like it." I said, "Why?" And she said, "I don't know." There's your problem right there. There's your problem. And I'm going to tell you, you've got to watch your flesh. With your husband, with your wife. Like that preacher, he said, "I don't like you." I said, "Why?" He said, I don't know. I said, "Are you jealous? Are you mad? What's wrong with you?" He said, I just don't like it." I said, "Man, you know what his problem is? His flesh is getting the best of him." That's your flesh. Your flesh ain't maybe going to murder somebody or something like that. Your flesh is just wanting your way and being a smart aleck to your husband or your wife or your kids. Lady told me the other day, won't call no names, it's not in here. She said, "Pray for me." She said, "I'm mean to my kids." She said, "Pray for me." She said, "I'm hateful to them." She said, I feel like the devil's in me." I said, "He is. He is." She wanted to choke her own kids. Now, ladies, when you get like that, you just remember, you're getting in the flesh. Now, you say, "Well, didn't you ever want to choke your kid?" Yeah. That don't make it right. I threw Carrie down one time. She's about 2 months old. She wasn't us. I just threw her down on the couch. It didn't hurt her. I did not hurt her. Well, don't let that get on me. I said, hush! I know how to handle no kid. I was the baby. Didn't have no babies. And she kept crying. I was keeping her and kept crying. I said, good night. Ain't nothing wrong with you. And just throw her down on the couch and walked off and left her. But you can't, that ain't right. That ain't right. It's this flesh, sometimes you're mad and you don't even know why you're mad. How many of you would admit, sometimes you're just mad. You're just mad. Don't even know why. Ain't nobody. Oh, I see everybody in here nodding your head like it. You just first walks in. I dare them to say something to me. I slap their head off. That's your flesh. Now, how are you going to get victory over that? How in the world can you get victory over something like that? The Bible says, are you listening? The Bible said Joshua discomfited Amalek with the edge of the sword. You get this book down and you read it and it'll make you sweet. You get this book down and meditate on it and it'll make you... Listen, go by the Bible. Not by your feelings. Not by what you heard. Not what somebody said. Go by the Bible. I found out when I go by the Bible, God will bless me. And when I go against it, I get myself in trouble. I found out if I'll just do what this Bible said, I'll be all right. Listen, the Bible's your coach. The Bible's your leader. In this fight that we had a while ago, you know what they got to go by? The Word of God. Them boys pull out their swords. They'd all had swords. You'd have really seen something here tonight. I mean, run and stick the enemy with them swords. That's how they win the victory. They win the victory with the edge of the sword, brother. With the edge of the sword. You win the victory. Jesus, take example from the Lord Jesus Christ. When the devil come at him, he pulled out a verse of scripture, wham! Pulled out another verse of scripture, wham! Pulled out another verse of scripture, wham! Out of the book of Deuteronomy, 3 verses of scripture, run the devil off, and the devil departed from him for a season. That's how you get victory over the flesh. Lord, I had some other stuff I was going to tell you tonight, but I'm going to stop here in a minute. The Bible said, as long as Moses held his hands up and they took that sword, they won the victory. If Moses had laid down his hands and they had laid down their sword, the devil, Amalek, would have won that battle. And I know Christians tonight, people that saved as me and you, that are out there tonight on drugs, alcohol, lives ruined. You know why? Because they wouldn't fight that flesh. They wouldn't fight the flesh. And I know people that would never do drugs and never do alcohol, but got an old bitter, hateful spirit about them. And just hate everything and everybody. Wouldn't witness to nobody if they're dying on the spot. And just don't even realize the flesh has got the victory. War with your flesh. I don't know who's going to win in your life. I'm like you. I've won some, lost some. But my determination tonight is to have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Fight. Fight your flesh. Fight it. Fight it. I've been listening to some CDs by Jimmy Evans. He's that guy that does those marriage seminars. Trying to get some stuff for the sweetheart banquet. And most of the stuff he says, I agree with. Some of it is not scriptural. He's a little bit contemporary on some of his beliefs, but for the most part, he does good. He does pretty good. And I was listening to him, and he's talking about husbands and wives and marriage problems and stuff. And he said, you know there's a divorce coming when people start hollering and raising their voice and shouting at each other. He said, that's a sign divorce is down the road. And he names a bunch of other stuff like it. They've done studies, like interviewed 1,000 couples that divorced and seen what happened before the divorce came, whether there was unfaithfulness or whether there was just a lack of communication or whether there was, you know, there's several things people fuss about the most, money, in-laws, physical relationships, stuff like that. And it always boils down to somebody is saying, I want to please my flesh and do what I want. And heck with you and everything else. That's our problem. That's our problem in churches. That's our problem in churches. God knows my heart. I want to get the victory over this old flesh. You don't get it and just keep it. Paul said, I die when? Daily. You don't just come down here and say, oh, I've got the victory over the flesh. Never have to worry about it again. It'll be right back tomorrow morning, right in your face. That's what I like Dr. Ruckman said. He said he gets up in the morning, looks in the mirror and says, okay, what are you up to now? You know, that's the way this flesh is, buddy. If you get it whooped one place, it'll pop up somewhere else. I've seen it. I was over at Christian school for many years. I've been to camp for 25 years. You can make so many rules. You can make people dress a certain way, right? But if somebody wants to let that flesh out, it'll find a way to get out. I don't care what you do. That flesh can find a way to get out if we don't get the victory over it. Let's fight. Let's fight. Amen. Them guys up there tonight, down there in New Orleans fighting for the Super Bowl tonight, they're doing it to obtain a corruptible crown. They're just going to get money, a trophy, and some stuff. We do it for an incorruptible, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Amen. Amen. The song says, "Let fight, be brave."